The Gospel today is printed on page 788 in your pew Bible. It's from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" This is the Gospel of our Lord. May be seated. When I was a young and very new pastor, newly ordained, I received a word of advice from someone who'd been in the ministry for many, many years. And the advice was this: always remind your people again and again and again how much God loves them. And I thought, that sounds like good advice, because I find that I need to be reminded of that from time to time. Everyone needs love. The singer Michael Jackson wrote this some years ago: "If you enter this world knowing that you are loved, and you leave this world knowing the same, then everything that happens in between can be dealt with." And that's probably quite true, but there are a lot of people who never experience that kind of love. Pastor Rick Warren put it this way: "Our deepest need in life is to feel absolutely, totally, unconditionally loved, not for something we could be or should be, but loved just as we are." And you know, seriously, only God can really love us that way, that thoroughly. We read in 1 John chapter 3 the good news that God indeed does love us that way. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Because you have put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, indeed, you are a child of God. That's what the first chapter of the Gospel of John tells us, that as many as received Jesus, for all those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children who weren't born from just natural descent or a husband's will or human decision, but born of God. Today is Father's Day, and certainly it's a good day to remember and miss those fathers who are no longer with us. It's a day to honor those fathers who are still with us. But I kind of think that it's a good day for Christians to remember just how blessed we are to know that God himself is our Father. And so the sermon today is going to focus on the love of Father God for you and for me. And we're going to be using a lot of the verses from Psalm 103. And first, let me say, before we even get any further, is that one of the things we really have to know is that God's love is very personal. You know, one of the favorite Bible verses of most Christians is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." And that's, of course, true, but we can't think of it in terms of sort of a generic, just put all the people together and yes, God loves them. No, God's love is very personal. It's very individual for each one of us. And we read in Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That word compassion is from a Hebrew word that means a very deep love, a love that is born out of some sort of a human bond or connection. And so we find in Isaiah, he uses that same Hebrew word to describe the love that a mother has for the child that's nursing at her breast, that kind of deep, strong love. And then Malachi in chapter 3 uses that same word, the Hebrew word that our Bible in English translates as tender, that God has tender feelings for his own, the way a father is tender toward his children. It's a love that is felt at a deep level emotionally, and one that can even be felt physically. The Hebrew word conveys that. Think back, if you're a parent, to a time maybe when one of your children came running home sobbing. Maybe they'd been hurt physically, or maybe somebody hurt their feelings, but they were just in such distress, and you gathered them in your arms, and you hurt for them too. It was like that gut-level feeling of pain that you had because they were in pain. That's the kind of compassion that word expresses of God, the kind of love he has for us. And then verse 11 talks about his love as being as high as the heavens are above the earth. So great is his love for those who fear him. That's a pretty amazing love. You know, there is no love here on earth, no human love that can ever match the love of God. No matter how much you are loved personally by some other person, that love is not as great as the love Father God has for you. And then there's another word I want to call to your attention. This is from Jeremiah chapter 31. And it's a kind of a strange verse, but it talks about in our English Bible how God delights in the one who belongs to him. Delights. But if you look it up in the Jewish Bible, the Tanakh, the way they interpret that, way they translate that same Hebrew word, is that God dandles the one he loves. You know what that means? That's a father bouncing his toddler up and down on his knee. It's a father loving on his child, cuddling, cradling that child. That is the kind of love, the personal love, that God the Father has for you and for me. And then God's love provides for us. Psalm 103 says that we should not forget all his benefits, and indeed he does provide us with many, many benefits. And that verse from the gospel lesson, Jesus says, ask, ask. It will be given to you. He's inviting us to come to God our Father with our needs. All the things we need, we can bring to him. That's called prayer, of course. But we come not just in a formal sort of way, but Hebrews chapter 4, 16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. With confidence. Another Bible translation is with boldness, to come with confidence into God's presence, with boldness to ask for what we need. But the root word, the Greek word that's translated confidence and boldness, actually comes from a word meaning speaking freely, speaking openly. And that's what we can do with God. In our reading from Romans, it talked about God as our Abba Father. And most of you probably know from past Bible studies and sermons that that means daddy. It was the word a child used for his or her father, Abba, daddy. And so we come to God in confidence, with the kind of intimacy that is a father-son, father-daughter kind of intimacy. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be formal. We don't need to just read prayers or go pray by rote, but we come in that conversational intimacy with God as our daddy. And then Jesus promises that God will give us good things. If you being evil, he said, you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will God give good things? And he stresses that indeed, the good things we have come from God, and that anything we receive from God is good. Sometimes we don't always quite see it that way, but good in the sense of beneficial sometimes. God gives what is good to his children. He can't do otherwise as a loving father. And then God is pardoning. In Psalm 103, verse 3, it talks about he forgives all our sins. And indeed, no matter how many sins we have each committed, they are forgiven in Christ. Sometimes we're a little concerned because it seems like, you know, well, this is the 47th time this month that I've come to God repenting of this one particular sin because I can't seem to get beyond whatever, losing my temper or whatever. But God forgives each and every time. He's faithful to forgive us. And there is no sin that is so horrendous that God can't forgive. When Jesus died on the cross, all those sins were covered. If we simply come to him and ask for his forgiveness, 1 John chapter 1 says that we have been cleansed, our sins have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then I like that verse in Psalm 103. It really is one of my favorite verses. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's pretty amazing. Our sins are not just covered, they're not just set aside. Our sins are really totally banished out of our sight, out of God's sight, never to be brought up again, unless it's the devil who enjoys bringing up our sins to us. But we can always talk about the forgiveness of Jesus Christ because those sins are gone. Somebody said, it's interesting that God's word should say as far as the east is from the west. Why doesn't it say as far as the north is from the south? And the speaker replied, that's because you can measure the distance between the north and the south poles. It's about 12,400 miles, give or take. You can measure it, but you can't measure east from west. It's unmeasurable. And so God, when he forgives our sins as far as the east is from the west, means they are totally removed, never ever to be brought up and thrown in our face again. We are not to live under that sense of guilt and shame. I ran across this story some time ago. I'll share it with you. There was an old coal miner injured and disabled as a very young man. Unable to care for himself, he lived for decades in a care facility. A chaplain, new on the staff, visited him and was surprised to find him cheerful. He asked him how he managed to be in such good spirits. When the man answered, "God loves me," the chaplain said, "Surely you must have your doubts." The man answered, "Yes, that's true. Sometimes Satan visits me and reminds me of friends from my youth who are still strong and healthy. And he asks me, 'Does God really love you?' Next, the devil looks around this tiny room where I have lived so long and he asks me, 'Does God really love you?' Then he points to the pictures of my nieces and nephews and reminds me of the wife and the family I had longed for but never had. Again he whispers, 'Does God love you?' 'And what do you say?' the chaplain asked. The man replied, 'In my mind, I take Satan by the hand and lead him to a hill called Calvary. I point to Jesus on the cross, who willingly gave his life for me. I point to his thorn-crowned head, to his nail-pierced hands and feet, and then I tell Satan, yes, God loves me. I know God loves me. Nothing says God loves you like the cross of Jesus Christ. God's love as a good parent is also a protective love. We read in John chapter 10 the words of Jesus where he's talking about himself as the good shepherd, and he assures his followers that they are safe. He tells them that they are in the Father's hand and no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. He has a good grip on you. You are secure. In the last 7 or 8 years, there has been a new trend in parenting, not a good one, and it's called snowplow parenting. And the idea is that parents want to remove any obstacle from their child's life, any obstacle that seems to be on the pathway of their child's life. They want it gone so that the child will not ever have to feel frustrated or experience failure. And this is what one psychologist said, as printed in The Week magazine. A psychologist said she regularly sees college freshmen who have had to come home from Emory or Brown because they don't have the minimal kinds of adult skills that one needs to be in college. One came home because there was a rat in the dorm room. Some didn't like their roommates. Others said college was too much work. One didn't like to eat food with sauce. Her whole life, her parents had helped her avoid sauce, calling friends before going to their house for dinner, telling them not to serve anything with sauce. In college, she didn't know how to cope with the cafeteria options, often covered in sauce. Well, God is not a snowplow parent. God is not removing the pain and the problems from our life. He doesn't want us to escape all of the challenges or even the heartbreaks that life sometimes brings, because God wants us to mature. He wants us to grow into people who can stand firm under pressure, as people who can weather any storm that life brings us, and there certainly are a lot of storms. Think back to your young childhood and a time when maybe you heard these words, Daddy's here, it's going to be okay, you don't have to be afraid. And Daddy was there to kill that big spider in your bedroom, to hold you close when the power went out and everything was so pitch dark. And it may be that in your life you did not have a daddy like that, but you have one now. As a believer in Christ, you have a heavenly Abba who is there. And he's not going to make all the problems disappear, but he does give us this amazing promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Not ever. Not ever. And so we can hear him say to us, Abba's here. You don't need to be afraid. Everything's going to come out all right, ultimately. We have a Father who loves us personally. We have a Father who provides for us, who pardons us, who protects us from any ultimate harm. And I have just one more P word to give you, and that's God's Father love is perpetual, never ending, never stopping. In Psalm 103, verses that we did not read, verses 15 and 16 say, the life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. And indeed, that is human life. Our lifespan is like a blip on the line of eternity, hardly worth seeing, and yet God does. And he gives us this promise through Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. This is from John 11. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Never die. Eternal life is the gift of God to us. You know, think about it. 10 million years from now, you and I will still be alive and still be able to say with even more assurance, yes, God truly does love me. And if it happens that you're here today and you've never really experienced that love of God, today, Father's Day, is a great day to open your heart to Jesus, to receive his gift of forgiveness, because God is ready and willing to make you a part of that forever family that will live through eternity. I have tried for my years in ministry, which have been quite a few now, to regularly follow that advice of the, I was going to say the elderly pastor, who was probably at the time younger than I am now, who told me, never let, you know, always remind your people God loves them. And so periodically through my ministry, I have preached on the love of Father God. And sometimes, I will admit, I have felt somewhat apologetic, because it's like, you know, everybody already knows this, or, you know, this is so simple. It would sort of bother me. And a couple years ago, when I was preparing to preach yet again on the love of God, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, is there anyone in particular, someone in this congregation who really needs to hear this message yet again? This was the Lord's answer. You mean besides you? And I thought, oh, how true that is. We all need to hear again and again and again that God loves us. We all need to hear that we have a Father, an Abba in heaven, who cares for us deeply, who delights in us, and who is never, ever going to let us go. Yes, God really does love you. Amen.